Greetings, my dear sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, Christian ambassador for, servant of and to the Rastafari movement. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And this is for the recording date of Sunday, June the 30th, 2013. We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So let's go to the words an ear, where we're to listen to the Holy Spirit. We're to listen to our mother, the Holy Spirit. Mother, Holy Spirit. She wants us to know something. She wants us to love one another. She wants us to cling to one another. He that hath an ear is ous. 3775 on the Greek side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. It means the ear, as in your two ears. It means also metaphorically the faculty of perceiving with the mind, the faculty of understanding and knowing. You see, sisters and brothers, the mind is important. The ear, the mind is a womb. W-O-M-B, operating on male-female polarity, able to beget and conceive an idea. So the mind is a womb, and the ear is the entryway to the sacred ear tract. I like to call it likened to the sacred vaginal tract. The ear leads to that which I like to call the sacred vaginal tract of the womb, which is the mind. Using the woman and the sacred feminine as a blueprint. So, when the president speaks to us, when the first lady speaks to us, when those in government speak to us, and the words are like the seed of life that is called sperm, going into the ear, the entryway to the sacred vaginal tract of the mental womb. Then, like an egg, an idea is implanted in our minds. And the word acts like a sperm hitting this idea in our minds. And if we act upon that idea, then the idea grows. You see how the mind operates on male-female polarity. Idea in the mind, the word from a human being entering the ear, going to the sacred vaginal tract, that is the ear tract, into the womb of the mind, the word striking an idea, giving life to an idea, causing the idea to germinate and grow, and then you have actions based on this idea. It is so important that we have control over our minds, because if we do not, then those in puppet rulership have the power to maneuver us into actions that are not for the benefit of poor working class black, brown, red, yellow, and white men and women of the earth. He that hath an ear, let him hear. 191 on the Greek side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek Dictionary. Akouo, let him hear. To be endowed with the faculty of hearing and not deaf. We are to listen to Mother Holy Spirit. We are to hear our mother. We are to exercise our faculty of hearing, to attend to consider what is or has been said. What is Mother Holy Spirit saying to us? To understand, to perceive the sense of what is said. When you listen to the president, when you listen to the Secretary of State, when you listen to the spokesman for the president, you have to even be able to hear the, perceive the sense of what is said. You have to sense what is not being said. You have to be able to hear between the lines, hear how the voice goes up or goes down or trails off. That way, we are able to understand when these government officials are lying to us. And they lie all the time. Even when it appears that they are saying and doing that which we want them to do, there is always an ulterior motive behind that. To perceive by the ear what is announced in one's presence. So Mother Holy Spirit is among us and in us and around us, but the enemy is also around us, operating through the government officials, operating through corporate CEOs, operating through the banks, operating through the institutions of this wicked world order. What is being announced in our presence? When they make an announcement, we must perceive by the ear what is really being announced. I am thinking of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. When the president has announced the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and this partnership is so interesting to me because I am a member of the UAW, and as a member of the UAW, never before have I seen such participation in politics, so much so that the leadership of the UAW has, in my opinion, almost forced his UAW leadership to ram the Trans-Pacific Partnership down our throats. We, some months ago, were confronted with a paper, a petition, to petition the president into not allowing the Japanese government to participate in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And my crew supervisor, a supervisor in Ford Motor Company, presented this petition to the crew, to my co-workers, and said we should sign the petition to make sure that Japan is not able to participate in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We were told by the supervisor that if Japan is allowed to participate, then that will be detrimental to the big three, GM, Chrysler, Ford, and jobs within the big three, UAW in particular, and I'm sure supervisors as well. So I'm listening to this, and I am with my ear perceiving what is really being announced in my presence. And I said, you know, I understand these partnerships to be likened unto NAFTA and these other partnerships, these types of partnerships that skirt around Congress and skirt around the government officials in the legislative branch of government, that are, if I understand the information correctly, they are the ones empowered to make contracts and deals with corporations internationally. So I remember NAFTA. I remember Bill Clinton. I remember Bill Clinton going against George Herbert Walker Bush. And I remember Ross Perot saying, you don't want NAFTA. Is going to be a giant sucking sound to the South. The sucking of American jobs going south. The sucking of wealth, living wage jobs going south. Not to the Mexican sister and brother, but to the banks and the corporations in partnership with America's banks and corporations, in partnership with Britain's banks and corporations. And so with NAFTA, we saw the destruction of the poor working class Mexican sister and brother, the destruction of farmers and landowners, poor working class landowners. And we saw men and women and families pushed off of their lands and territories, now made into sojourners, made into immigrants. And I'm thinking of the wicked immigration bill that is nothing but destruction to our sisters and brothers in Mexico and Central and South America and so on and so forth. But this NAFTA, making immigrants out of our sisters and brothers, pushing them off of their land, forcing them to come across the border, and then the American corporations, the same ones pushing all of this wickedness, take advantage of our sisters and brothers from Mexico and Central and South America by exploiting them in the fields of vegetables and fruits and whatnot, by exploiting them in the warehouse jobs that dot the South and various places in the United States of North America. So I have all of this in my mind. And I know that Republicans and Democrats are pushing this madness to destroy poor working class masses of the people. I understand what is really being announced in my presence. And I said, you know, sisters and brothers, after a couple of days, and I did some research, and KPFA did a couple of programs on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I went back to my job. And in the crew meeting, I said, look, we had this political paper read to us in the crew meeting, never before done. So since that was set as a precedent, I would like to share with the crew concerning this issue of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And I began to just say in a couple of minutes that it is destruction to the poor working class masses of the people. It is like NAFTA. But it is greater than NAFTA because it covers more nations and territory than NAFTA. So that was a few months ago. Then all of a sudden, our building chairman came by with this paper saying, sign this paper. It's what you talk about, Christopher. It's for the workers. So I read it. I said, no, man, this is not for the workers. This is causing us to think that just because Japan is excluded from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that it is good for us. The point is that the whole doggone partnership is destruction. Whether Japan is in or out, that is determined by the house of Rothschild, who are the creators of such partnership as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, causing us to fall for a false flag operation and thinking that if we vote to exclude Japan, it is good for us, when the whole partnership is bad for all workers all over the earth, specifically the Pacific Rim, including the workers of the United States of North America. I said, I will not sign this. And I will bring you information, Brother Chairman, that this is nothing but a wicked ploy to cause us to be maneuvered into our own destruction. So that was a few months ago. But a week or so ago, here comes the vice building chairman with the same no good rotten petition and another paper. I said, what is this? He said, read it. It's about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's some more information. And it was no more information than we had already. Nothing but lies and fictitious narrative to cause us to think that if we exclude Japan, that it is good for us, when the whole Trans-Pacific Partnership is bad. It destroys ecology. Go to June 12, 2013, KPFA, Guns and Butter, with Bonnie Faulkner interviewing Georgia Kelly, or playing speeches given by Georgia Kelly, Arthur Stamoulis, Margaret Flowers, Kevin Zeese, from the Public Banking Institute's Public Banking 2013 Funding the New Economy Conference. And they talked about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. They talked about how it is being put on what is called a fast track to bypass the legislative branch of the government of the United States of North America, so that the Congress and maybe the Senate as well, but let's just say the legislative branch of the government of the United States of North America, have been disempowered, not able to vote the Trans-Pacific Partnership up or down, power taken out of the legislative branch of government of the United States of North America. According to the Constitution, according to what these beautiful sisters and brothers have said, it is the Congress, legislative branch of government of the United States of North America, that is supposed to create partnerships and contracts with foreign corporations. That government is not supposed to create partnerships with government, bypassing the legislative branches of government. So this whole thing is wicked from the start. See, you see, when you go through the legislative branches of government, now you have to adhere to certain rules ecologically, certain rules economically. These rules have been put in place to protect the poor working class masses of the people and citizens in general of the earth. Ecological rules, so that we don't destroy the ecology. Economic rules, so that we don't destroy people economically. So the fast track bypasses all of that, destroying economies, destroying ecology, destroying living wage jobs, destroying people's ability to protect themselves and have jobs at all, taking advantage of poor working class people. It is totally destructive all the way around. So when you hear, whether you are on your job, whether you are looking at TV, whether you are in a particular meeting, the Holy Spirit, Mother Holy Spirit, because we have done the study, because we have information, then Mother Holy Spirit is able to remind us of information. In Haiti, these same type of contracts from Bill Clinton destroyed the local farmers in Haiti, destroying them, destroying them, destroying them. Now the sisters and brothers are not able to sustain themselves. In Jamaica, the same thing went down. Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton destroyed the sisters and brothers in Jamaica who were able to feed themselves. Now they can't get a fair price for their product, whether it is milk, whether it is foodstuffs, because Bill Clinton brought in goods from his farmers in Arkansas at a cheaper price than the local sister and brother in Jamaica. And so the Jamaican sister and brother closing the shop down, closing their farms down, closing their stores down, all because of these wicked contracts that the governments use to usurp the authority of the legislative branches of government. That is what the Trans-Pacific Partnership is all about. It gives corporations the ability to sue states and governments who would seek to protect their people from being misused, abused, and destroyed. So let's say I have a company, a corporation, and I want to set up shop in Massachusetts. But my company is going to destroy people ecologically. And I set it up and it starts destroying people ecologically. And the people then organize to kick me out. Well, the Trans-Pacific Partnership says I can sue the government. I can sue the people for lost revenues and then force them to allow me back. Is that not what was done with the Sassoon family and the opium drug trade and the British crown forcing the Chinese people onto opium when the sisters and brothers rose up, kicked them out? Then the Sassoon family, backed by the British crown and the British military, came back in and forced opium on the Chinese people and forced China to pay them restitution for lost revenues. That's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, sisters and brothers. So the Holy Spirit, she allows us to understand exactly what is being announced in our presence, to perceive by the ear what is announced. So I told my brother vice chairman, whom I love, I am not signing this. And I began to say out loud that it is destructive, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, destructive to my sisters and brothers, poor working class masses of the people. He didn't want to hear it. And others who I have been talking to about this information began to just, like robots, sign the petition as if it would help them whether Japan is in or not, when the whole partnership is wicked. To get by hearing and learn. This is what an ear means. The ear in the Greek language, our African Hebrew scientists using the Hebrew language or using the Greek language to translate out of the African Hebrew, the African mind, African thought, and African teaching on the ear. You see, we study anatomy, the Africans. We study everything under the sun, studying the material universe, studying the material world, studying our material anatomy to understand and learn that which we need to understand and learn so we are not manipulated by the puppets and the wicked forces in this world. To get by hearing, learn. So we hear. I listen to programs every day so that I may learn. You do the same. We listen to each other so that we might learn how to come together, organize together for freedom, justice, and equality, so that we may learn how to become the most and greatest and the fullest and complete, the most full. Trying to say this correctly, sisters and brothers. So that we may become full and complete human beings, gods and goddesses in the fullness on this earth. So that we may manifest to the fullest the kingdom of God, queendom of God that's in heaven here and now. A thing comes to one's ears to find out to learn. You see, sisters and brothers, the way they have education in the schools, the educational system is created in such a way to turn off your learning. Even religion, the way religion is taught, it turns off your capacity to learn. We in Africa taught everything as one. Oneness, total monotheistic teaching, absolute oneness of the Most High, Father and Mother, and oneness of the gods and the goddesses, children of the Most High, and oneness of the universe, and oneness of education and religion and science, all as one, I and I. Monotheism, we're many parts. The Quran says one Allah, but then the Quran says we and us, showing that we are many. We are us, but all of us are Allah. All of us are Allah. The universe is Allah. The creation is Allah. Many functions, many parts, but we are all one, I and I, Allah. And we are here to learn and to teach and learn from one another. Find out information. But the way they have constructed the educational system, your little babies enter school ready to learn, ready to understand, ready to grow into their full and complete God, Goddess, children of the Most High, Elohim. But along the way, their capacity to learn is being turned off. You have the collapse of education in the so-called ghettos and the buttressing of the prison pipeline. The wicked ones, the puppets, destroy living wage jobs in our communities, destroy education in our communities, give us the drug economy, and then create more prisons, more jails, greater police force, stop and frisk every black and brown. Crime going on in the white community, no one paying any attention. More white people, Caucasian people in the United States of North America than anyone, even right now. So the greater numbers of crime committed in the white community, but the focus is the black and the brown community. So you destroy education, then destroy jobs, then give us the drug economy, create more jails, greater police force to do what? Funnel us into the prison system. Well, we say Mother Holy Spirit wants us to learn. Mother Holy Spirit wants us to grow. Mother Holy Spirit wants us to find out information, wants us to use our minds, our mental capacity, use our ears. Our mind is a sacred womb, and the ear tract is the sacred vaginal tract to the womb, the sacred womb that is our minds. And we must have sacred knowledge, so that we must have sacred information, so that we are able to understand with the ear and listen to sacred teaching from sacred teachers, that we may comprehend and understand the world system and understand the kingdom of God and kingdom of God in heaven is right here, right now on this earth, within you, in your hands, around you, and among you. And the word kingdom is a word in the Greek that has to do with the power and authority to run the universe, run the kingdom of God, which is the universe. And Psalm 8 says that we, mankind and womankind, are made a little lower than the angels and given the power to rule creation. Let's take our next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.